Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
Cutting down to the truth through history and experience, The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, email kfr@scalpeledge.com, or the website scalpeledge.com.
The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Welcome to The Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose. We're going to start bringing you more podcasts per week. I used to do it four times a week, present podcasts, and then I backed down to three to two to one time a week just because we've been so busy at my practice and other businesses that I own. However, as we enter the final stretch, the fourth quarter of this election season, I believe that it's important that we get the word out, that we get the truth out so that President Trump is reelected in a landslide and he can keep working to make this nation great again. And right now we're in the middle of a revolution. I've talked about a color revolution. I believe that's what we're in the middle of. I believe there's a well-honed insurgency here in the United States of America. But I think we can distill it down to a much simpler phrase or simpler understanding. We basically have war being waged against exceptionalism by unexceptional people. And all of this would not be possible without the post-truth media that allows unexceptional people to wage war on exceptionalism. I'm going to explain. I believe this media, this post-truth media, has arisen out of a bigger movement that started around the mid to late 20th century. And hang on, because I'm just going to give you a brief history, because I believe that if you understand the history and understand how we got here, you can understand how to combat it. Because while we didn't have recently a major kinetic or actual attack on this nation like we did during 9/11, where people came out in droves to sign up in the military to go and fight terrorism for our nation, we are actually under attack as a nation from within. And whether you like it or not, this is not going to be a spectator sport. No one is going to be unaffected by this. So I think that we all have to understand what's going on, and we're all going to be participants in what I believe is one of the most pivotal times in our country, and that's to take our country back to its founding values. We've already started that process by electing President Trump the first time, but we need to understand what he is up against, because we like to just call it the swamp, and I think they like us to call him the swamp. They like us to call him the deep state, but I would tell you it's a counter state. It's a counter state because they're counter to every one of our founding principles. And they don't believe America is great, nor do they believe America is good. And we saw that with 8 years of Obama-Biden. And so I want to take you a little bit back in history to the mid-late 20th century when something called postmodernism started. And it was a broad movement that was developed during that time. And basically, and I'm going to keep this super simple, postmodernism was a departure from what we call modernism, or basically truth. The term has more generally applied to describe a general historical era said to follow after modernity and the tendencies of this era. And basically, postmodernism is when you take truth, history, experience, and you decide that you can change it to what you want it to be. And it's generally defined as an attitude of skepticism, irony, or rejection toward what is described as the grand narratives or ideologies. And right now, the postmodernists are against what we call American principles. And they often criticize this enlightenment, rationality, and focus on the role of, now listen to this, is what postmodernists do. They focus on the role of ideology in maintaining political or economic power. Postmodern thinkers frequently describe knowledge claims and value systems as contingent or socially conditioned on framing them as products of political, historical, or cultural discourse. I don't know, maybe something like systemic racism, toxic masculinity, patriarchy, you know, social discourse. And the common targets of postmodern criticism often include objective reality, morality, truth, human nature, reason, listen to this, science, language, and social progress. Quite simply put, postmodernism attacks truth, it attacks virtue, it attacks integrity, it attacks science, it attacks actual achievement that has been made throughout history when brilliant thinkers have looked back at history and experience and moved societies forward instead of backwards like our founders did. And we are living in a postmodern political microcosm right now. And that has given birth to post-truth media. And I would also add it's given birth to post-science medicine, which is on full display during this coronavirus pandemic. Because post-science medicine, like postmodernism, they push their objectives by self-referential journals, by basically deciding what the premise will be and then building their argument around that premise and then being able to project that argument out loud enough and long enough, kind of a sophistic bent, if you would, in order to create the narrative that they want you to know so that they can bend and mold society as they see, they, the masterminds, see fit. And this post-truth science has caused a lot of problems during this coronavirus epidemic, pandemic. And this post-truth science couldn't be possible without, that's right, post-truth media. And it's beyond fake news. I mean, post-truth media is reporters copying a byline by writing a narrative they want people to hear, attributing it to unnamed sources, and then getting experts to comment on the record about what the unnamed sources are postulating. Case in point, the recent story in Politico about President Trump's health. It gives what the president's doctor said, that story does, and then it casts doubt on the doctor, Sean Connolly, by saying that an unnamed White House officials close to the president contradict Connolly's assessment, causing a, quote, baffling back and forth, confusion and criticism. Then the story went on to quote experts on the record commenting on the confusion and criticism or leveling of criticism. Do you see how this works? Post-truth media is not based in anything in reality or truth. It's based in a narrative or a point that they want to drive home, and they do it by using unnamed sources. But that hasn't been the way the media has worked in the past. But one of the barriers to truth is the post-truth media. So the average American person is berated 24/7 by the post-truth media. The greatest casualty is the actual truth. Story after story that have no attribution have been coming out online and in print. Sources with knowledge of the situation, or quote, unnamed sources familiar with the issue, or I love this one, anonymous sources who wish to remain unidentified, or one source speaking on the condition of anonymity to describe the internal reaction, or a source familiar with the president's health, or a White House official, and just it goes on and on. Many of these stories do not even attempt to name a source. But the writers think they are creating a story just by quoting a, quote, aide or official. That's post-truth media. And when you berate the American public with it, you can wage war on something that's very exceptional by really unexceptional people. You know, I've spoken about this in the past. I work in the intelligence community, and I will tell you that in the intelligence community, and unfortunately a lot of leaders in the intelligence community have come out against our president, and they are unprincipled, I don't know a better word to call them, traitors to the republic. They're a lot of the ones that are leaking these unofficial stories. But in intelligence reporting, they know it always starts with information. When you get a report, it's information. It doesn't become intelligence till that information is verified and put into a final product. And the sources of that information are always carefully vetted so they can be confirmed as independent sources. That's because they don't want circular reporting. And circular reporting is where you get several people saying the same thing that are all related to each other in some way. So that may not be the truth that they're saying, but if you report it as five different people said this and you don't show the common denominator that they either work together or know each other, then someone might take that report as more valid because they have crossed their ints or crossed their information and intelligence, meaning it had credibility. And when the ints are crossed, then there's more validity to the report. Now, the post-truth media could care less about truth or facts. All they care most about is the narrative they create. So they create multiple points of information that will circular report to give them the narrative they want. And these narratives are created and maintained by the circular reporting to keep the narrative alive. I guess you could just say circular reporting in the mainstream media is the oxygen that maintains propaganda and the soil that has grown this insurgency. Oswald Chambers famously said, seeing is never believing. We interpret what we see in the light of what we believe. And when you have a mainstream media that is going after the American people 24/7 with post-truth reporting, a lot of people start believing things that just aren't true. But we know that history is the ultimate arbiter of truth. That is, if we can actually get history pushed forward. Back in the 1940s, this was a byline in the newspaper in England, and it said, for over 5 years, this man has been chasing around Europe like a madman in search of something he could set on fire. Those words were spoken by Adolf Hitler describing Winston Churchill. Now, clearly, that was post-truth reporting. But as history has shown us, Hitler was the madman setting everything on fire, not Winston Churchill. And we understand that. We understand that because basically Hitler was projecting on Churchill what he was actually doing. And we're seeing that a lot today with the New Democrat Party. The New Democrat Party is saying that President Trump is a racist. President Trump is a bigot. President Trump is burning down cities when in actuality, the complete polar opposite is true. Dr. C.G. Jung, a pioneer of psychology and psychiatry, called this projection of our own unknown self a splinter personality. The doctor said, if we are unable or unwilling to recognize our own bigotry, we conveniently project it on others. And that's what we're seeing with the New Democrat Party. They don't want people to understand truth. They want them to understand post-truth. The truth that will support their narratives. That's why they came out with the revisionist history, the 1619 Project, while President Trump was in office. They tried to rewrite our entire nation's founding and history, and a lot of people jumped on board. Was that post-truth media? But that wasn't the first time this happened. Howard Zinn is the king of revisionist history. And the Federalist had a great article out on Howard Zinn in the past, talking about debunking Howard. Debunking left-wing historian Howard Zinn is like shooting fish in a barrel. It was by Christy Shirk back in February of this year. And it really laid bare the tactics of this post-truth media and how they're able to do it because we've had a post-education system that no longer seeks to teach truth, but just, you know, a common core where everyone understands everything. That is, everything the postmodernists or post-truthers want you to understand. And this article lays bare Howard Zinn. It says, Howard Zinn had succeeded in convincing a generation of Americans that the nation Abraham Lincoln truly called the last best hope of earth is essentially a racist criminal enterprise built on murdering Indians, exploiting slaves, and oppressing the working man. Graybar explains that while Zinn praises the Vietnamese communists as reformers for redistributing land to peasants, he leaves out that they also murdered tens of thousands of landlords and that the land was taken back and turned into collective farms. This was just one discrepancy of Zinn's many discrepancies in his chapter on Vietnam. But he praised communism. He talked about those who know history know this Marxist siren song leads to. He talks about it leading to utopia, but we know that the only way to disguise it is to ignore the more than 100 million corpses that it produced, that is Marxism, in the 20th century, and to present the United States, the freest nation in the world, as tyrannical, murderous, and imperialistic regime, which is exactly what Zinn did in history in his book. He did this by lying, distorting, misusing evidence, hijacking other historians' work, and falsifying facts. But he can get away with it. He can get away with it in this age of post-truth media because the media aren't going to call Howard Zinn to account. And so when you look at why we have young people burning down cities and rioting, they don't believe America is great or America is good. They're not being taught actual history. They're not being taught about Alexander de Tocqueville and his two volumes, Democracy in America. When this political scientist came over, this social scientist who was a true academic came over from France to look at America and to travel and understand how this new world was functioning and functioning so well after their revolution, when in France, after their revolution, most people, I don't know, just lost their heads. And de Tocqueville wrote of the New World and its burgeoning democratic order, observing from the perspective of a detached social scientist, he wrote of his travels. And when he wrote this, he said, upon my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. And the longer I stayed there, the more I perceived the great political consequences resulting from the new state of things. In France, I had almost always seen the spirit of religion and the spirit of freedom marching in opposite directions. But in America, I found they were intimately united and that they reigned in common over the same country. De Tocqueville said, when the past no longer illuminates the future, the spirit walks in darkness. And he was correct. He understood that virtue, faith, and freedom are founding principles, are founding documents that referenced God, that referenced the Bible. That Americans understood freedom and the spirit of religion went hand in hand. Yet today, the post-truth media would have you know that Christians are radicals. They're racists. They're bigots. They're homophobes. This post-truth media doesn't look at what's really going on in the world. This post-truth media wants to tell you that we have systemic racism and we have Black Lives Matter Incorporated, which are rioting, which are taking money from major corporations to support a Marxist ideology. And I'll give them some credit. Their leaders come right out and say, we're trained Marxist. And they get away with it because we have a post-truth media. Now, if our media was honest, they might just look at the actual slave markets that are in Libya right now, where men, as I speak, are being sold into slavery. And that was all made possible during the Obama administration, when then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and President Obama and his administration intervened in Libya and allowed that nation to become a failed state. And now you have a lot of radical Islamic individuals that are promoting slavery, and slaves are being sold. Of course, you have the radical left here in this country calling our president Hitler and putting people in concentration camps. Yet if we didn't have a post-truth media, but an actual truth media, they might just mention that actual concentration camps are present today in China, and Uyghur Muslims are being placed in them by the hundreds of thousands. I worked in Pakistan, and I can tell you that the Chinese access agents in Pakistan will pay people to try to kidnap Uyghur Muslims to bring them back to China for, you know, re-education. Now, if we had an honest media, they would be talking about it, but we don't. We have a post-truth media. They don't want to tell you the truth. They don't want to tell you what's going on. That's why de Tocqueville noted at the end in his book, he talked about the press and he basically made them out to be a two-edged sword. He said, when it comes to the press, he concluded, there really is no middle ground between servitude, a press that is wholly subservient to the state, and license, a press that is wholly unrestricted. In order to reap the priceless goods that derive from the freedom of the press, he went on, one must learn to accept the inevitable evils that it breeds. Acknowledging that the destructive taste that journalists often indulge and promoted can happen. But de Tocqueville's final defense of a free press was unqualified. He said, the more I consider the chief effects of the independence of the press, the more convinced that I am among the moderns, independence of the press is the most important, indeed essential ingredient of liberty. A people that want to remain free, therefore, has the right to insist that the independence of the press is the most important, indeed the essential ingredient of liberty. We had to have a free press. No one wrote on this more brilliantly than the book recently published by Mark Levin, Unfreedom of the Press, where he, it's nothing short of brilliantly lays out the absolute disillusion of free journalism in this country and explains it. And if you don't read any other book this year, I recommend you go and get it. But de Tocqueville knew we needed a free press. We just don't have one now. That's why Mr. Levin's book is titled Unfreedom of the Press. We have a press that is a post-truth press, and they don't want to tell the truth. And you don't have to look very hard to figure that out. One great example is looking at right now what is going on with the president as far as this Russian collusion investigation has completely unraveled, and we are now seeing that the FBI, elements of the Obama administration, and high up in the intelligence community spied on a sitting president, his family, and other people and destroyed lives. Yet the post-truth media, just as recently as, I don't know, last December, was talking about it in a completely different light, even after the Inspector General report came out. You had one of the kings of the unfree press, one of the post-truthers, and probably one of the dumbest people to ever, you know, inhabit a body, Chris Cuomo from CNN, and he had this to say on December 11th, cut one.
But the truth is just not that complicated. People around this president have been up to no good from the start. The institutions that are designed to catch that worked. The only question is what should be the consequence. Now, the smears never stop. The president is still peddling lies tonight now about the FBI, just a little.
They spied on our campaign, okay? Lives have been destroyed by scum, okay? By scum.
Calls the FBI scum. I never imagined a president, and he just keeps disappointing. There is no proof of spying. Zero. And we'll take you through it with an FBI vet who's owed an apology by our president. Next.
There you go, folks. That's my example. Yeah, I could find hundreds, probably thousands of examples like that. He's going to take us through with an FBI vet because this isn't true, what the president just said. The only problem is this was December 11th, 2019, and now I'm sitting here October 7th, 2020, and we know unequivocally that the FBI spied on the president of the United States. That they changed a FISA application, that they altered 302s. This isn't conspiracy theory. This is just, you know, actual reports that have come out. But a post-truth press is going to tell you, don't believe your lying eyes. And that's what Chris Cuomo did. And as the MSM, the mainstream media, Democrat politicians, and Hollywood elites continue their epic slide down the ass crack of history into the pool of irrelevancy, it is important to note that they do this with great pride and forethought because they are post-truthers. The repeated lies from the mainstream media, like you just heard, the politicians and the liberal elite are not only swinging back on them like a giant pendulum spotlight illuminating their moral bankruptcy for we the people and the entire world to see. But the actors in this kabuki drama are actually smiling and preening and not understanding that their poorly executed lines in this soap opera of deceit are on full display. And what they perceive as a growing thunderous applause due to the bootlicking, sycophantic post-truth media is actually an expanding thunderstorm of disdain and disgust at their outright lies and intentional deception of we the people. There is no longer the patina of patriotism or paternalistic concern for our constitutional republic, but a full-blown fascistic push to subvert the will of the people and to repeatedly remind the American citizens not to believe their lying eyes or ears. The new Democrat Party no longer head fakes to the Constitution as they quickly tear the pages, but hold it up on display as they slowly feed it into the industrial-sized paper shredder powered by their socialist utopian fantasies and their unbridled quest for money and power. And while they feel shielded by a Praetorian Guard post-truth media and in the past by a feckless leadership in the Department of Justice and the intelligence community, things are changing. And the American people are solemnly taking in this status circus and circling the big tent with disdain and firm resolve. I believe if the current politicians don't recognize that the gestures in the court will no longer be tolerated, then our country will course correct again. Obviously, that first correction came with the election of President Trump. And if the clowns on Capitol Hill in Hollywood and in the large newsrooms around the country don't read the writing on the wall because their noses are lifted so high above the masses due to their overblown superior self-esteem, then reality is going to come crashing down on them much harder and faster than a flash mob in Portland. The sponsor of the scalpel is Z-Bones, open-ear Bluetooth headphones. Now, you usually hear my standard Z-Bones commercial, but I wanted to do it over again live because I received a package in the mail the other day, and since I've been home and not able to operate, I opened this package, and it's the new Z-Bones Stealth headphones. They've changed the packaging. They've changed the product. It's very sleek. I liked it the first place, but this is I'm looking for the word. Yeah, badass. It's an open-ear design. It's lightweight. It's comfortable. It has stereo listening, hands-free call. It's sweat-proof for those of you that want to use it for exercise. It has a Bluetooth 5.0 receiver, and it has 6 hours of battery life. This is a comfortable headset that doesn't stick in your ear, jam it up, cause wax buildup. No, it's a bone-conducting headphone. If you put it on, you can hardly tell that you have it on. I wear these in the operating room so that if I have to speak to someone or take a call, I can still hear everything that's going on around me. You can wear it with a hat. No one will know you have it on. And if you like to exercise your Second Amendment rights, you can go out to the gun range, have your ear protection on, and still listen to some music and play your Z-Bones. This is a really cool product. It's great innovation, and I frankly love it. Z-Bones are designed with the end user in mind, and that's me. That's you. That's those of us that want to have great music, want to be able to talk, but don't want to have earbuds falling out of our ear. And more importantly, losing expensive earbuds that fall out when you're not paying attention. Because the Z-Bones fit on your head and then you'll just forget they're there. That is until you turn on your music or you receive a call. Z-Bones Stealth. You can find it at zbones.io. And be sure and type in Scalpel70 to let them know you heard it here. Reach out and let me know what you think. Z-Bones Stealth. Open ear design. Sound at the speed of life. Welcome back to The Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose. If you have any questions or comments and you want to get in touch with me, you have anything you want me to talk about, or you just want to tell me you think the show sucks, whatever you want, email us at KFR. It stands for Keep Freedom Rolling. KFR, Kilo, Foxtrot, Romeo, for you that have been in the military, at scalpeledge.com. Give us an email. Let us know what you think. Also, we would love it if you went to our Facebook page and liked it, or if you go to our Instagram, which I never look at. I'm sure my producer keeps that going, and our Twitter, at the Scalpel Edge. I know we have a lot of people that like or sign up and follow us on Twitter, and every time I get about 50 people following me, I tend to lose about 150, so I'm not sure how that works with Twitter, but we're going to keep at it. We're also at Parler now. We're on Parler, and I believe it's at Scalpel Edge on Parler. So check us out. We have a YouTube page, too, and we're redoing our website, so hopefully you'll take a look and give us a shout and let us know what you think. But I will tell you, most importantly, I hope you're grabbing these show notes and I hope you're talking to other people, because what we're talking about today is the post-truth media. I'm trying to lay out for you an understanding of why we are at this point in American history where we have our country teetering on the precipice. And one of the biggest reasons, and I think one of the major reasons, if not the biggest, is we have a media that refuses to tell the truth. They tell what they are told, or they tell what they want to support a narrative, and that's post-truth. And they don't want you to know that President Trump's doing a good job. They don't want you to know that while we had terrible unemployment due to this horrific pandemic, unemployment, while not perfect, is still coming down rapidly and the economy is recovering. They don't want you to know that. Like I mentioned the last part, they don't want you to understand actual slave markets exist in Libya. They don't want you to understand concentration camps are in China, while the post-truth news supports LeBron James and the NBA and a lot of guys that are shills for the centralized Chinese government that are putting people in concentration camps. They don't want you to know that in Iran, the LGBT community is under constant assault, where people are thrown off buildings and women are jailed for driving without a headscarf. They can be put in jail for up to 30 years. And the Obama administration sent them millions of dollars, but that's post-truth. Media doesn't want you to know that. They want you to know that the president, he's the one that's against the LGBT community. However, nothing could be further from the truth. You see, we have a president that loves this nation and is fighting for us, the American people. He understands that we have to be able to govern ourselves, and the best way to do that is to get big government, big G government, out of the way. But the self-truthers don't want us to do that, because when you move away from self-government, the more destructive you become and the more destruction you experience. No one can legislate self-government. De Tocqueville knew that. That's why he talked about morality and religion. All our country's suffering, social decay, are a lack of self-governments. We break laws personally. Breaking of a personal law produces public chaos. But we don't have a community problem. We have personal problems right now that are affecting the community. And when we implement law and order, we can stop those personal problems affecting the community. And that's why the Democrats, the new Democrat Party in these large cities, are standing down their police, defunding them, and have district attorneys that refuse to prosecute rioters. And our founding fathers knew that that kind of growth without management, without self-government, would lead to chaos. And massive unchecked government growth consumes resources indiscriminately. And the larger the unchecked, unmanaged, and unaccountable group becomes, that is, our government without internal self-government, the more it consumes. You understand how this works if you've listened to this podcast. In the real free market, the better you manage, the more resources you are given. Our president entered the White House a billionaire. Unlike most politicians who leave and make their millions during or after they leave the White House or government. And again, like I said, in the real free market, the better you manage, the more resources you have. And government, though, and this is post-truth, but it's actually true. In government, the poorer you manage, the more resources it takes to fix the unmanageable situation. What do I mean? Obamacare. The Democrat Party, along party lines, destroyed our healthcare system almost with Obamacare. And now they're running on fixing our healthcare system that they destroyed. You can't make this up. Oh, yeah, you can, in a post-truth media climate. So the poorer you manage things in government, the more money it takes to fix, you know, the unfixable situation. They just throw money at it, which creates opportunity for the morally challenged who don't self-govern. And I would just say, enter stage right Hunter Biden to enrich themselves while seemingly trying to solve the unsolvable problem intentionally. This usually spawns more opportunity for growth of this dysfunctional organization we call our big expanding government that will just continue to grow the more money that's thrown at it and metastasize. So the larger it gets, the less productive it becomes. And there's less oversight. That's why you have someone like a Hunter Biden that can run around the world doing international deals with no experience, taking millions of dollars from Russia and China. And self-government, that is, a moral person or someone with virtue, is a must when oversight is at a minimum. And that's why our founders talked about it all the time. An individual in the free market gets paid for creating solutions and solving problems. And their ability to address and solve problems creates value. And the more coherence and order one provides in business, because I'm a surgeon, but I'm also a businessman, the greater the value. President Trump understands this. And when he came into government as the president, he came in as someone who solves problems and brings order and coherence. But remember, the Democrats have to project onto him in this post-truth media and say that he is chaotic and destroying everything, when he is actually cutting regulations, firming up our military, expanding the economy, giving us better trade deals, and combating a horrific pandemic, all while under 24/7 barrage by the post-truth media. He brought great value to the White House. but our politicians, liberal media, and government bureaucracy create problems with no solutions. That allows them to create wealth by exploiting the chaos they create with their unsolvable problems. And this may be tying you in a knot, but I pray it's not. Because I would just tell you straight up, I tell my employees all the time, I don't pay you to work. I pay you to solve problems. Because in the real world, you don't work for money, you're paid for solutions. And that's what President Trump understands. That's why he came out of what we call the real world and into the post-truth world in Washington, D.C. And in the political realm, you're not paid for solutions, but increase your wealth by creating problems for which there are no solutions, just more programs, think tanks, nonprofits, you know, money that can be put here, there to solve all these unsolvable problems. Let's get another think tank. Let's get another non-government organization and fund it through this NGO that has former staffers for this administration working there. Do you see how this money cycle works? And creating a need so you can take more from those who work, with the byproduct of disincentivizing the best and the brightest from reaching for the stars to fulfill their purpose and destiny. That's what happens when you grow a government too big. You have to tax people so hard to keep that massive tumor growing that it disincentivizes the hard workers. You can simply sum it up. Self-government brings stability, order, and clarity, where problems are solved, diseases are cured, and the civil society benefits as a whole from the individual self-governing. But when legislative government grows past its confines and intent, it produces chaos, destruction, and dissolution of the civil society. And that's where we find ourselves today. We find ourselves with a lot of chaos, a lot of destruction, a lot of dissolving of the civil society. And I would say it's quite intentional by this new Democrat Party. And they're able to do it again with a post-truth media. Case in point, just yesterday, Nicole Wallace was on, I guess it's MSNBC, which I don't know, that and Airport Radar, I don't know who gets more hits, but she was on MSNBC and she was describing the speech Joe Biden gave at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Now, I want you to listen to Joe Biden finish out this speech, and I want you to listen to her comments, and then we're going to explain to you exactly what the post-truth media is all about, and we're going to put a fine bow on this. Cut to.
What we are at our best, the United States of America. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you. We can do this.
No matter what happens 28 days from today, this speech will be the speech that people talk about when they talk about Joe Biden's campaign for president in 2020. Joe Biden fleshing out the vision behind his campaign for the soul of America, invoking those images in Charlottesville, telling us a little bit more about why that was the impetus for him jumping in the race, that it reminded him of the images of Nazis in the streets of European cities in the late 30s. This speech designed to set the tone for the final 4 weeks of the campaign. Donnie, you and I were texting a little bit. This was, I thought, Joe Biden at his very best.
Okay. I don't even know where to begin with this, but I'll just start at the beginning. You have Joe Biden, and he's giving a campaign speech. And if you were watching the video, and I know you can't because this is a audio podcast, did you hear there weren't very many people there? I counted probably 10. You had one person that was yelling loud. It wasn't like one of President Trump's rallies where there are 1,000, because everyone knows Joe Biden is an empty suit. Nicole Wallace, though, is part of the post-truth media. She has to tell us what actually happened, not what we actually saw, but what they want us to see. She said Joe Biden fleshing out the vision behind his campaign for the soul of America, and that he invoked images of Charlottesville, which got him to run. This is the third or fourth time Joe Biden has run for president. He has been in politics his entire adult life. He was in politics in high school. And then he told the lie again about Charlottesville when the president did not say that Nazis were good people, but they can't stop. See, this is post-truth. They're going to tell you that President Trump reminds the images of the Nazis in the street in European cities. Now, that's really ironic because the cities that are under attack and being burned down are all Democrat cities with Democrat mayors that have told Democrat police chiefs not to enforce the law. And she says this speech sets the tone. I mean, Joe Biden doesn't even know he's talking probably to the 7 to 10 people that were there. He probably didn't even know he was in Pennsylvania, but she's going to tell you this was Joe Biden at his very best. Well, let me ask you a question, Nicole. Joe Biden's been in government 47 years and done actually nothing except, well, be part of spying on the president. But other than that, he really hasn't done a whole, oh, well, he lied a lot. He plagiarized 5 papers. He had to drop out of the race in the 80s because of plagiarizing a speech and lying about his academic record. But he's done a lot, right? This is Joe Biden, his very best, except, oh, I forgot, Nicole. There's that Joe Biden that's on video threatening the Ukrainians to withhold $1 billion in aid unless they fire a prosecutor that's looking into the company that his son's on the board of. But this is, no, post-truth. This is Joe Biden at his very best. That's what Nicole Wallace says. And she says it without any shame, without any disruption in her soul. And we are living in these post-truth media times. There's no doubt about it. There's also no doubt that I believe this is a very prophetic time. And we're seeing types and shadows of Isaiah 59:14 playing out before our very eyes, where he says, justice is turned back, and the righteousness stands afar off, for the truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And I believe justice is turned back as the nation deals with the lawlessness and the crazy, wild-eyed liberal concept of abolishing law enforcement. Righteousness stands afar off as evil is called good, and good is called evil. People are even hesitant to say how they feel about issues for fear of being ostracized. And truth has fallen in the street as we have no idea what truth is with all this information and counter-information reported. And equity cannot enter due to the barriers to truth. That's where we stand today. That's why the Media Research Center studies indicate journalists' voting habits are disproportionately Democratic, and their views on issues such as abortion and gay rights are well to the left of most Americans, and they are less likely to attend church and synagogue. And that's the post-truth media. A leftist, godless agenda, normalizing leftist thought, attacking any dissent. So truth is fallen in the streets. Appreciate you spending some time with me today. I hope this has kind of explained to you where we are dealing with this post-truth media, but I want you to be encouraged. I believe God has his hand on our president. Our president's doing better, but we need to do our part. We need to get out, and everyone needs to make a conversation with someone and make sure they're at the polls. We need to be talking about freedom. We need to be talking about our God-given rights that we have here in the United States of America. The way you counter post-truth, the way you counter a color revolution or an insurgency, is to actively get out and cause a cognitive dissonance in those that are sitting on the fence. We saw this the other day with all those cars driving down Fifth Avenue in New York City with Trump flags. We need more of that. And we're seeing it in cities across the nation. Just remember, we live in the greatest country in the world, and it's not in our DNA to believe in the lies and deception that the media wants to feed us. And we're going to have to get back to truth. We're going to have to get back to actual history and actual experience in order to move forward as a nation. Probably be talking to you tomorrow if you're listening. So go out today. Enjoy the rest of your day. Most of you are probably working. But most importantly, let's keep freedom rolling.
Head high, protest line. Freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times. Standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey. Your secret's safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
With Dr. Keith Rose.
The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bones Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, email kfr@scalpeledge.com, or the website scalpeledge.com.